Thank you, praise team, getting our hearts right. I'm going to speak to that here in just a minute when I get everything sorted, I guess. But anyway, you guys are looking good this morning. It's a season of Thanksgiving, and so those of you who have been with us for a while, man, my voice is thundering this morning. I like it. Those of you who have been with us for a while know that I preach through books and verses. But right now, we've concluded our study in the book of Colossians. And so, we're going to take this time, the approach to Thanksgiving. Oh man, don't take it away. Anyway, as we approach Thanksgiving, I wanted to just take us through a series of psalms. And so last week, we looked at Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. We looked at David praising God for who He is and what He has done. We know there was a time in David's life after he had endured many difficulties, and so he was praising and worshiping God who remained faithful through it all. I want to today take our attention to Psalm number 100. It's the only psalm that in its own its title is a psalm for giving thanks. It's packed full of truth. It's only five verses, and I know with my long-windedness, some of you went, amen, it's five verses. The old saying, dynamite comes in small packages, reigns true, certainly in Psalm 100. As David is, this is a condensed celebration of all that God has done. And when we unpack and look at the elements within it, it can be as lengthy as Psalm 119. But I won't do that to you this morning either. All right, we will be joining, we will be reading there and reminding ourselves of the goodness of God and how to give thanks unto Him for all that He has done. So I'm going to move to get right after it and ask you, if you would, to stand in honor and reverence for reading God's Word. And we'll be again in Psalm 100. David is beckoning us to join him in praising the God who is forever, listen, forever faithful. We just sang songs to remind us of that as part of the joy of worship. So Psalm 100, I'm giving you a moment. If you would, join me there. Says a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your faithfulness. I thank You for Your goodness, Lord God. I thank You for Your steadfastness in every season. Lord, that You don't shift or change. You remain true, You remain right, and You remain just. Father, it's these things that are Your attributes. They give us full confidence that in every moment and in every season, Lord, You are aware of our circumstances and our conditions. Lord, that You're faithful in the midst of our trials. And God, that we can find security in knowing that those whom You have called Your own, those who believe in the Lord for their salvation, Father, that You hold us in the midst of every season. And Lord, that there's nothing that can snatch us away. May we take refuge in Your strength. We hide ourselves in the shadow of Your wing. Father, may we today rejoice at Your faithfulness to New Home and the members of it for so many years. Father, thank You again for the blessed privilege to gather together. Help us now to praise You, to honor You, to exalt Your name, to glorify You for what You have done through the work of Your Son Christ, reconciling us unto You, making us right so we can have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so five short verses. Y'all believe that? That's right. All right, well, here, I'm just going to plow right in. I'm just going to dive in. I broke it down into a couple of different sets of verses. Promise you we're going to move, but I don't want to negate the wonder that is here. All right, a joyful noise, as David calls us to do. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. This transcends our human ability. Some people say, I don't sing because I don't have a voice. You don't sing because of the beauty of your voice. You sing because of the beauty of the object of your affection. You lift your voice because God is good. Yes, surely He's gifted some of us with an angelic voice. I'm not one. And I know that we're made. My son's shaking his head. All right, then. All right. Thank you, son. Now, nothing like having a child that'll keep you humble. Amen. God has gifted some of us with an angelic voice. But listen, God is no less worthy to be praised because your voice isn't harmonic. We praise because God is who God is. We praise because He has done what He has done. We praise because He is faithful. David calls for us to join in all of the earth singing praises and making a joyful noise unto the Lord. I would submit that you would be some type of miserable wretch to have no joy to offer the one who has saved your very soul from destruction. I want you to think about that. It's a sad place to be if you don't recognize the value of the beauty of the one who has snatched you from the fire and established your life in His presence forever. That's a miserable place to be, to think that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that you have been lifted out of the pit of destruction and yet have nothing to sing about. It's a pretty dark and depressing environment. David is calling us to join with the rest of the earth. All things that God has created are created to worship Him. Every bit of it. The joyless believer has sorely been bereft of knowing God's redeeming grace. We are called to join into the earth's choir. Actually, to the choir of all of creation. And praise the one who spoke it into existence. The fullness of earth belongs to the Lord. And the world and those who dwell in it, from Psalm 24. Psalm 50 says, every beast of the fields is mine. Every bird of the field is mine. The cattle on a thousand hills, all that moves in the field is mine. I would expand this and say the stars and every gas in the galaxies have all been put into existence to sing praises unto God. Every bit of it. Some of you may have last night noticed the bright and beautiful moon. Maybe over the last couple of nights. It has been radiant. Just below it last night, it looked like somebody was standing up there with a flashlight shining it in your eyes if you looked at the moon just below it. It was the planet Jupiter, I found out, just perusing the random stuff that I find myself reading sometimes. It said that was Jupiter, and it was profound in the sky last night. Looking at those things brings us to remember that God spoke even Jupiter into creation. That God set it all in orbit, placed it, tilted it, set it, and it'll forever stay there until God changes it. Every gas in the galaxy has been put into existence to sing praises unto God, to exalt His name. Public proclamation of God's goodness is in Psalm 100, verse 1. We are created to make Him known. Serve the Lord with gladness. Right away, as we give thanks, it moves us to service. You serve the things that you worship. And I would like to say this, the servant in our Master's house is heir to a greater fortune, or the benefactor of a greater fortune than all of the wicked's wealth in all of the world. Just to be a servant in the house of the Lord comes with a number of innumerable promises, innumerable hopes, innumerable joy, immeasurable joy, even in the midst of difficult situations. David is bringing all of this to bear. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Join with all of the earth. Serve with all gladness. And in every season, in every moment, we are beckoned to come into the service of our Lord. We serve the things that we love. And there is no greater homage paid to a king than for you to willfully submit your life in service under him. David calls for us to come into his presence with singing. It's a beckon to come and to have communion with God. This has been made available to us through Christ Jesus. David understood this. He said we would come into his presence. It means come to church already singing. It means come into the temple already singing. It means coming into the presence of God already singing, already worshiping, already praising. We need to recognize what it is to be able to approach the holy and righteous God of the universe with confidence. With confidence. Listen, believers bought by the blood of the Lamb come before the Lord with great joy, not with fear. Not with fear, but a heart that's flowing, overflowing with the joy of the Lord, giving thanks unto Him. Sometimes we allow our faces to get long, right? How do we counter this? We become thankful for the things that we do have instead of mourning over the things that we don't. We recognize what God has done on our behalf. We're reminded that we are valuable in God's eyes. He gave His only Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God has gifted us with something that should make our hearts sing in the midst of every moment, every trial, every difficulty, every season. We have things in this church today to be celebratory of. Some of you look like you're still mad about last week. I'm just being honest, sitting up here looking out. We got a brother that was delivered from a heart condition that may have taken his life. God is good. We have a sister that went to have a surgery to remove some cancer and might have surgeries coming after that or treatments. But praise God, when she came back to, they said it's gone. No more treatments. Praise the Lord. We should have came in the door with a smile and a song on our heart. Shaking hands, loving, kissing our neighbors with a righteous kiss, welcoming them into the house of the Lord, and then beckoning them, join in all of the earth, join in all of New Home, and singing praises to the Lord. When Matthew struck the first key, our heart should have busted forth with words. What has God done at New Home in over the last 122 years? The answer, a lot. You're sitting in this building with the comforts that you're enjoying today because in 1953 somebody broke ground outside. God was faithful then, He's faithful now. Oh, y'all need to grab a hold of this. Listen, David is saying praise Him because He is faithful. Go down to verse 5, we'll jump back up out of this. The Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. This is a psalm of praise as David looks back over what God has done. Not in fear of what will happen in the future, because David can look at God's track record and say, oh, He's faithful. His love is steadfast. He's not blinked. He's not been asleep. He's not missed one moment of my life. Why in the world am I afraid to face tomorrow when God has sustained all of my yesterdays? This is the God of glory. This is the God who, as the song said, told the stars where to come, told the oceans you can only go this far, who spun it all in orbit. This God who has authority, whose voice, the song said, can catch a falling star. He looks down, He sees you, and He pours out His love upon you. Somebody ought to get excited if I don't. There's three blessings that are given in these first two verses. Praise, it befits the upright, Psalm 133. Service, you get to be employed into the kingdom of God. You get to serve a holy and righteous God. He's gifted us that. And communion with Him. You know, you can go into the presence of the Lord in any moment. I want you to think about that. In any moment, you can call upon the name of the Lord. You can bow your knees. You can close your eyes. You can do all those things and call upon the Lord. And it says that He will give us His ear, that He'll hear the cries of His people. These are the promises that are all throughout Scripture. Man, we ought to be praising, making a joyful noise, even if it's tough on the ears, maybe. Some of you said, I'm glad you gave me permission. I didn't have to. I didn't have to. The Lord is giving you great things to be worshipful for, thankful for. Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. Listen, there's no greater endeavor in all the earth than to know God. To drink in His faithfulness, His steadfast love, His patience, His endurance, His steadfastness, even to drink in His wrath, because the more you can study God's wrath, the more you're reminded that God has satisfied that wrath that was against you. You go read Genesis chapter 6 about the Noahic flood, and you put yourself in the place of Noah and his sons and their wives and know that God has shown you mercy, that you have found favor with the Lord as He has called you unto Himself, and you're on the boat, you're not in the water. Noah's Ark is a dark day. It's full of the vengeance of God against wicked and unrighteousness. Go read Genesis chapter 6. I'm reading it in my quiet time right now. It will shake you to know that if it were today, that you would have permission to board the ship. Somebody needs to think about that this morning. Know the Lord. As God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, these are the words that are recorded in his book in chapter 9, verse 23. It says this, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, nor the rich man boast in his riches, or the mighty man boast in his might. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, God, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in all the earth, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord. What did you say? No greater endeavor, not your wisdom, not your wealth, and not your strength. The greatest endeavor is to know the Lord. Anything else you have to boast in, you can boast in because God has given it. Paul says that we have no reason to boast except for in Christ and Him crucified. Believer, if you know Christ as your Savior, you have more to sing about than all the rest of the world that doesn't have Christ. He is God and there is no other, Isaiah 45:22. He made us, Psalm 139. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He numbered all the days of our life. He knows every moment, every season, every difficulty, every victory, every sorrow, every sadness. And yet He issues them to us as a sovereign decree so that we become more conformed into the image and likeness of His Son. So when the time comes and we're called to stand before Him, we will be perfect and lacking nothing. James chapter 1. God has done all of this. You've not pulled yourself up out of the miry pit. Psalm 40 said, God has pulled us up out of the miry pit. Ezekiel 18:4 says that all souls belong to the Lord. The soul of the Father, the soul of the Son, and all souls who sin shall surely die. That's a terrible truth, right? Just think about that. No one escapes God. Knowing God teaches us these things. Studying His Word teaches us these things. Ezekiel himself spoke on behalf of God, behold, all souls are mine. The soul that sins shall surely die. This is terrible, terrible, terrible news for those who are still in sin. But God. But God. Church, I'm trying to get you to join me in thanksgiving. God has snatched you from that. Who in here is without sin? I'm thankful y'all are honest. So what does that mean? All souls that sin shall surely die. Do you have a soul? So you've admitted that you have a soul. I mean, you have sin. We know that you have a soul. God says, because you are a soul that has sinned, you shall surely die. But by the grace of God and the blood of His Son shed on the cross, we are no longer identified as sinners. This is where he's going with verse 3. Know the Lord, that He is God. In other words, He has all authority, all rule, all judgment, all sovereignty, all everything that could be belongs to God. He made us. He knit us together in His mother's womb. David includes in this address to Israel, we are His. This God who has all authority, yeah, He's the God that we belong to. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We have been adopted. We have been washed. We have been made clean. We are forever in the family of God. The price of sin has been satisfied. The soul that shall surely die because of sin is redeemed through the blood and the work of Jesus Christ. He satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf. He died for us so that in sin we don't die. We don't die because of our sin. We live because of His imparted righteousness. He gave it to us. It's the great exchange. We come with nothing but sin and wickedness and deceitfulness and disobedience and guilty of treason before a holy and righteous God. And God looks on all of that, and He has so much love for us in that while we were yet sinners, according to Romans chapter 5, Christ Jesus died for us. Church, that ought to make you praise. That ought to make you have thanksgiving that is flowing out for the rest of the world to see. We are the sheep of His pasture, and Christ Himself said in John chapter 10 that He is the good shepherd. He laid down His life for you. Somebody ought to get excited about that. God has redeemed you. This would be a great time for me to say this, that He is still searching for the sheep of another fold. In other words, He's going after the lost sheep of Israel. He's going after God's children. He's going after those who have yet to call upon the name of the Lord. And so today would be a great day for you to do that. If you hear the voice of Christ calling upon your heart, today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Enjoy, drink in the spirit of adoption, knowing that yes, you are guilty and deserving to die, but God satisfied His own wrath and that He poured it out upon His Son on your behalf. Call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, we're all dirty. The only thing that says someone saved apart is they've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. They've been cleansed by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Moving further along, there's more promises when you read verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. I want to give you a picture. David right now in his mind is seeing the Old Testament temple type place of the house of God, a worship place. There were gates. There was a fence around it. It was guarded. You had to enter through the gate. He says, come in the gate already with thanksgiving. Enter His courts, so inside of the temple structure, the tabernacle structure. Enter into there with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His holy name. Let me tell you this, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you can go beyond the court. If I had a chalkboard, I would draw it out. You can come in the gates. You can come in the court in the Old Testament if you were part of the people of God. But in the New Testament, by the work of Christ, the veil was torn from top to bottom. You can go into the Holy of Holies. Somebody? Anybody want to go? Some of you look like, Lord, I don't want to get in there. I heard that the priest might fall dead. Listen, he would if he was guilty of sin, but by the blood of Christ, you have been made clean. You can go. You can go. Listen, you can go. Some of you still going, where can I go? Where can I go? You can go before the throne of God and receive mercy to help in a time of need.
You can come before Him. You can confess your sins. You can call upon the name of the Lord for mercy. And it says He'll give it abundantly. The blood of Christ is sufficient to cover every last one of your sins. But you in your hardness of heart, don't be like the ones in the day of rebellion and turn your back to the wonderful grace that God has given through the blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Church, I'll say it every Sunday till He calls me home. Call out to Jesus. We can go in. Christ tore the veil. Paul captures those words in Hebrews chapter 4. You hear it from me often because it's something I want to celebrate time and time again. We don't have a priest that is a man that's walking around sinning like we do. We have a great priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It's making intercessions for us. Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of mercy, our throne of grace, that we may receive mercy to help in a time of need. I just told you, we go past the court. We go into the presence of God. In Christ Jesus, you're redeemed. And there's a day coming when we'll stand in the presence of God for all of eternity. And all of those maladies that I mentioned earlier will be washed away. They'll be gone. Somebody in here, I know names, I'm not going to do that. Somebody in here has been delivered from cancer. Listen, when you get to glory, you won't have to deal with that no more. Never again. Some of you get a phone call from a doctor now, you're scared to death because of where you've been before. Listen, when you get to glory, it's gone. Heart problem. All the brokenness of this world, redeemed in Christ Jesus. Give thanks unto the Lord. Enter with thanksgiving. Praise Him. Come prepared to worship. Come prepared to worship. And then David just puts a rubber seal on it in verse 5. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. If He were anything less than good, He'd be no Lord at all. God is good. If He was anything less, He wouldn't be God at all. We don't know what He knows, right? We don't know what He knows, but we know Him. And because of that, we can know all things that He does to us and through us is to conform us into the image of His Son, Christ Jesus. And you may endure great trials this side of heaven. My heart has wept in this very pulpit in the presence of every one of you over the trials that some of the dear people at New Home that I love have gone through. But my goodness, how we get to rejoice on the backside and say, God is good. God is good all the time. That's not in my notes, but I figure y'all get it. We're getting southern for sure now. Everything He does to us and through us is for our good and His glory. His love endures. It never is waning. It doesn't wax old. God is forever faithful to keep His word. And these truths are the foundation of thankfulness. Those truths are the foundation of thankfulness. Know the Lord, for He is good. Father, I pray as we celebrate all of the victories that our church has experienced. Lord, I hear the voice of David. Know the Lord, that He is good. Know the Lord, for He is God. His faithfulness is forever. His steadfast love to all generations. Lord, You are good. We as a people that gather here at 1605 can look at our past and know Your faithfulness. Know Your goodness. Know the history of Your testimony. And with all of that, help us to have a great anticipation of all the wonderful things You'll do, God.
going forward. Father, if there's one in here that doesn't know you, that doesn't know the Lord, that all of this seems to be scattered and delivered it, so I trust, Lord, that you can use it. For if they don't know, if they've never tasted the steadfast love, the forgiveness, the redemption that comes in Christ Jesus, would today be a day.